Our scripture reading for the morning is taken from Romans 12, 9 to 21, and also a passage in Matthew. I will be reading from the RSVP. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Don't lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and don't curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Don't be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Don't claim to be wiser than you are. Don't repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it's possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. No, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they're thirsty, give them something to drink. For by doing this, you'll heap burning coals on their heads. Do not become overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. And from Matthew 1:23, look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Where was God? Where was God? Where was God in the flood? Where was God in the natural disaster? Where was God in Hurricane Harvey? Where was God? Where was God in the death of my family member? Where was God? When I lost my job, right when an important bill was due, where was God? When I knew I might die because of a sickness, where was God? When I couldn't pay for the electric anymore and I couldn't replace the transmission in my car, where was God? Important questions that maybe you have asked at some point in your life, or maybe you're asking right now. The simple answer sometimes given in church, well, God is sovereign and God is in control. That's all that matters, right? If you have ever asked that question of where is God in the midst of a difficult moment and someone has responded, I wonder if it was helpful at that time. Maybe it was. Maybe that is what you needed to hear. Because it is true that God is sovereign. However, sometimes that response has not always been helpful when in a difficult moment we are crying out, God, where are you? What if a better response might be, I hear you saying that you're wondering where God is at right now. That's a really hard question. And I'm going to stay with you in this hard time as you ask that. Where is God in the storms of life, metaphorical and literal? It's a great mystery that has perplexed great, great theologians and children in Sunday school for many hundreds, thousands of years. We wrestle with this tension. God gives us free will and yet knows what will happen. God created the world, gave it laws of nature, set it in motion, and knows how it will end. And yet, if this all-powerful, all-knowing, omniscient God has control, then why am I experiencing this unimaginable crisis in my life? Human nature seems to sometimes work in extremes, polarizing. We love to think dualistically at times. This is part of being in the Western Protestant world. We sometimes go to black and white solutions. Either God causes earthquakes and natural disasters and therefore is mean, or God doesn't exist at all. Somehow it's easy to think dualistically because that's how our minds work. It's harder to think somewhere in the middle there, that a loving God who knows us and is with us can also be present in the midst of the crisis. That involves some gray area. That involves living in some tension, some mystery. As we read, seeing through the glass dimly, not very clearly sometimes. Where is God? The hope or the fear that rises after experiencing a disaster like Hurricane Harvey, none of us here can know right now exactly what that feels like. Although maybe some of you have experienced a flooded basement and you can get a glimpse of it. We come with these real honest questions to church this morning. Maybe you haven't just experienced Hurricane Harvey, but you're coming with your own storm in life right now. You're coming with some kind of a crisis, a question. You are maybe asking right now, God, where are you in the midst of this thing I'm experiencing? I think this is why we need to gather together Sunday morning and throughout the week. We need to be reminded together through our singing, through our call to worship, our praying, through reading scripture and hearing the word of God together. We need to be reminded and asked together, who is God and where is God in our own community life, individually and together? Church helps us to reorient ourselves, to remember who we are, who God is, and where God is in the midst of whatever we're experiencing. And so as we ask that question together, and we literally are figuring out together, where is God? One place to start is in Matthew. And when we ask, where is God? Maybe one of the questions you have to ask before that is, who is God? Well, we are told here in this text that God is Emmanuel. And what does that mean? It means God is with us. In Matthew 1:23, it says, and behold, a virgin shall conceive, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Did any of you look forward to Christmas as we were singing that song in September? I see some heads nodding. Christmas in September. These are wonderful songs that we sing at Christmas, but these are not just meant for Christmas, my friends. These songs that speak of Emmanuel can be sung at any time, because what we celebrate at Christmas, we really can celebrate every Sunday. God is with us. Amen. That's a great promise, not just for Christmas, but for every day. That miracle that we celebrate at Christmas is probably one of the most theological grounding beliefs for me. The incarnation. That God has chosen to be among us, not in some disembodied spirituality, but a body, a human, and yet God, coming to this earth to be present with us in whatever we are going through. God with us, Emmanuel. See, that's significant because it says for me that in what we're going through, the storm, that God is there suffering with those who have lost their homes. God knows what it's like to be on the margins. God knows what it's like to be homeless, to suffer, to even die. It's not as if we serve a God that has never experienced a hardship. And then as we remember who God is, this God Emmanuel, who came to earth in the form of a human baby, vulnerable baby, refugee baby. We take that, who is God, and then we take that to a text like Romans 12, which is one of our lectionary texts for this morning. In Romans 12, I believe we actually see characteristics of who God is as well. This God that is with us. See, in this beautiful text in Romans, you can almost insert God at every place of who God is. So I want to kind of just look over this wonderful text. Let me just give a little bit of context of Romans 12. This is Paul writing to the church in Rome. Now, Paul is writing to the church in Rome, which doesn't have a lot of that Jewish background and context. He's writing to Gentiles who don't know the whole Jewish story of the Old Testament. And I love this text because it's simple. It's not hard to understand what love should look like, what community should look like. And I think that's significant. Paul is writing to a community that doesn't have all of that history. They haven't had 65 years of Sunday school, like some of you have here. This is a community that is just beginning to explore this Jesus person and what it might mean to follow Jesus. This is a community that's truly figuring it out. And so Paul is writing to this church, and in the first 11 chapters, it's more about the life, death and resurrection of Jesus, and kind of, I mean, if you've heard of like the Romans Road, which I don't think is particularly helpful to be honest, but it's these kind of what does it mean to be a part of God's salvation story? How are you a part of that story where Jesus is Lord of your life? That's kind of the first 11 chapters. And then as we get to chapter 12, it's like, okay, now that you're a part of this salvation story, what does it mean for how you live in it? What is the behavior that's required to be a part of God's story when you didn't have all of that history as a Jew growing up? And so it's very simple. But yet what I love about it is that you could insert God in here and who God is at every part almost. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. God's love is genuine. God hates what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. God loves us with mutual affection. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Jesus served his Father, God. In everything he did, he always pointed back to God the Father. Rejoice in hope, in verse 12. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Guess what? Jesus suffered. And was patient in it in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus persevered in prayer as he was going to the cross. And we see Jesus praying in his 3 years of ministry that we read in the Gospels. Jesus consistently takes time to go and pray. This is a characteristic of who God is. To be patient in suffering and to persevere in prayer. In verse 13 it says, contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Bless and do not curse them. Again, this is who God is in Jesus, who also extended hospitality to strangers. Jesus in the Gospels turns everything upside down, consistently extending hospitality to the very least expected people. One example being a Samaritan woman at the well. It was one thing to even interact with women that would be very countercultural in that time, but then a Samaritan woman even. And he receives hospitality from this stranger and extends it. Verse 14, bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Live peaceably with all. If your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And I love that last verse especially of do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And I think one place where we see that, again, coming back to this is who God is in Jesus. When you think about Jesus' journey to the cross, surrounded by unbelievable violence and evil, what was Jesus' response? Where he could have called down the most unimaginable retribution with his power and fought the evil with more violence. What does Jesus do? He is not overcome by evil, but Jesus himself overcomes evil with good by extending self-giving up love on the cross. I think that we see these words to Paul, to the Roman church, and I think what Paul is doing is he's thinking about who is God in Jesus first? And then how does the church that's just figuring out how to follow this Jesus live it out? It's interesting that we're using the Matthew text and this Romans text, because if you were a recipient of this letter in the Church of Rome, Emmanuel, God with us, wouldn't have that much significance because you weren't a part of the Jewish story that for thousands of years is literally anticipating the Messiah. But what's beautiful is that even if you're not a part of the Jewish heritage, this letter to the Gentiles in Rome is just as significant, because what Paul's whole mission is to try to bring together the Gentile and the Jewish church to see that they are one in Christ Jesus. And so if you are part of this church in Rome, God with us is significant, even if you aren't a part of the Jewish story. Because God with us is not just for the Jewish community anymore. It is for the entire world, including you. This is a beautiful promise for you, wherever you're at. God is with you. God is with you. And who is God? It's a God that loves genuinely. It's a God that hates what is evil. A God that rejoices in hope. A God that cares about hospitality to everybody. A God that is okay with the vulnerable tears of weeping with those who weep and rejoicing with those who rejoice. And so what we see here is moving from who is God to then how does God call us to be with the world? Where in our world today are you seeing God with us? And I would invite you to think about that this week. Where do you see God with us? Where do you see Emmanuel in your own life and in the world? I'm going to just name a couple. And then I would invite you during sharing time to name where you see God with us, maybe in your own life or maybe in the world. But one of the things that I was really interested in as Hurricane Harvey was touching down is how is the church responding? And I was particularly kind of following the four Mennonite congregations in Houston. You know, just imagine if we experienced a disaster like Harvey in Lancaster. How would Whitmer Heights respond? What would we be doing? How would we be reaching out to our neighbors? And I was curious how these four Mennonite congregations in Houston were doing that. And it was incredible in social media. Updates from these pastors and church communities of what's going on in the community, how their members are safe, how they're looking out for the undocumented Hispanic community who is on the most vulnerable of the vulnerable because they were terrified to even call the police because they didn't know if they would be sent back by ICE. Those are the people that the pastor at Houston Mennonite Church were most concerned about, the undocumented community. I just wanted to say amen when I read that. But these pastors and the church communities in these four churches were keeping in touch with each other and their members via phone. They were praying for safety and for an end to the onslaught of rain. And then when they also opened up their church homes as places where they could receive aid to be distributed. That is continuing now, this morning. And then there's Mennonite Disaster Service, who sent a team almost immediately down there, including Kevin King. Scheduled to arrive, I think maybe even a day or two after the disaster hit. And MDS has already, I just read this morning, set up two different bases that they're going to be working out of to begin the mucking out of basements and homes and beginning the rebuilding process. But Houston Mennonite Church, and then a nearby San Antonio, Texas Mennonite Church and Austin, Texas Mennonite Church have all been working together to relief in these relief efforts. I see God with us, Emmanuel, when I read those stories. I was amazed at the response of just the people in Houston, who they talked about this army of volunteers who just came together. People helping others who have been helped in the past. And, you know, what was kind of cool, too, is that Houston is the most racially diverse city in the entire United States, even more diverse than New York or Los Angeles. And how beautiful a picture is it in the most racially diverse city in the United States of people coming together and helping one another? And my prayer is that what we saw there in Houston could be just contagious for this world that we live in, where people are coming together and helping one another in times of need, regardless of race, ethnicity, religion, culture, but just seeing the need to help one another. And then when the church comes and says, this is the time to step up and be the church. And so this morning, let's pray. Let's pray for Mennonite Disaster Service. Let's pray for the communities in Houston. Let's pray for the undocumented community that is afraid to come out because of ICE right now. Let's pray for the church's response there, that they would have courage and strength in this time. Let's pray for the people that have lost their homes. Let's pray for the people that don't have flood insurance right now. And then let's also do more than that. Let's donate money through Mennonite Disaster Service, and this is in your bulletin. Brett Troyer, who's been coming here recently, is a part of Mennonite Disaster Service. He's the project logistics coordinator. Pray for him, because he's about to get really busy. He's going to be sending incredible amounts of equipment and volunteers and logistics of beginning multiple bases down there near Houston. And I'm going to just put this out there. Maybe the Spirit could be nudging us to think about next spring or summer, a group of us from Whitmer Heights to go down there and maybe volunteer for a week. Let's just stay open to that with open hands, not knowing for sure if that will happen, but it could God be calling us to do that. I don't know the last time that MDS took a trip to, or Whitmer Heights took a trip. Maybe it was 10 years ago or more. But maybe this is another opportunity to serve and to be blessed ourselves. So where is God? I come back to that question. Where is God? God is here. God is in Houston right now and Louisiana. God is in you. God is in your neighbor. God is with the one suffering. God is Emmanuel in Jesus Christ. And God is calling us to be the church, to be the body of Christ, to be with the world right now, to be with one another. And so let's join God this week and as we continue to be the church. Let's join God in the world. Emmanuel, God with us. God, thank you for the promise, the great hope that we celebrate at Christmas and every Sunday, every day, that you are a God that chose to be present with us, even in the storm. God, as you are present with us, help us to be present with others as well. Right now, Lord, we lift up the people in Houston and Louisiana, those who are hurting, those who have lost their homes, those who are undocumented and afraid to ask for help because they don't know what will happen. God, be present with them. We know that you are, but we continue to pray that. We pray for those responding, for the Red Cross, for Mennonite Disaster Service, for the many other organizations that are working, for the volunteers, for the community. God, I thank you for the way people are helping one another despite their differences. God, nudge us. Show us how we can be a part of this, how we can be present with others, whether it's through our prayers, a financial donation, or maybe at some point even actually going down there and helping to serve. God, thank you that you are Emmanuel, that you are with us. In Jesus' name, amen.